Episode 130, BulaNetwork.com. Inside. Welcome to the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. Coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Today is Saturday, May the 19th, 2012. Yeah, I came into the studio to record on a Saturday. I don't do that very often, but it's a quiet day, not a whole lot going on, and so why not? Yeah, why not? Back in 1989, I purchased a paperback book. The author's name was Jan Halper. The title of the book sort of got my attention, quite simply because I knew that it was from a Henry David Thoreau quote, and it's a famous quote. "Most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them." Ms. Halper wrote this book called Quiet Desperation, and it was subtitled The Truth About Successful Men. And I don't know why, but a couple of days ago, I began to think about that book. And as I am wont to do, I began to scour my shelves looking for it. And I'm sad to report, so far, I have not found it. I was going to reread it. I do recall much of the book being about guys who outwardly, they appeared to be successful. By all accounts, they might be successful, but there is a price for success. You know the guy, big-time CEO, making tons of money, jetting all over the world, rubbing shoulders with all the big muckety-mucks on the planet, but his family life is pathetic, has no relationship with his kids, might be on his fourth marriage. And we think, how can you be so spectacularly successful in one area of your life and just so such a miserable failure in another area of life? Well, we've all seen that. That's an interesting study. And I'm sure there are some great things that we can all learn and probably should learn from such things. You hear a lot of people today talk about life balance and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure that those things exist. The fact of the matter is we do have to prioritize. We do have to say this matters more. And sadly, that corporate titan clearly he's clearly cast his vote that his career means more than his family. Now, you can judge whether or not you agree with that. I don't, but to each his own. But that really isn't the topic today, because what's on my mind today is how we handle adversity. And so quiet desperation, I'm going to take it not quite where Mr. Thoreau meant it, and that is quietly we go about our everyday life and we don't pursue the thing that maybe we wished we would have pursued, and we end up dying with the song still in us. It's a powerful quote and sad and, frankly, probably far too often true. Ms. Halper's book, Quiet Desperation, The Truth About Successful Men, doesn't necessarily address the quiet desperation of unsuccessful men. And to think about both things and to contemplate both things carefully is likely a very valuable thing. The thing that is on my mind is the suffering, is the quiet desperation, not of successful men or unsuccessful men. Who cares? Because, frankly, quiet desperation happens for everybody, not just successful men, not just unsuccessful men, and not just men. All of us. We all have moments, some are longer than others, we have moments in our life of quiet desperation, and what is on my mind is the suffering that people endure, and we know nothing about it. There's a local radio station, and they call it a bear trap. A bear trap being something where you shoot your mouth off only to find out that, well, here's an example. Someone may think they're going to make some snarky comment about someone, and they may say, you know, something about their mother, to which the other person may say, well, my mother passed away 5 years ago. That's a bear trap. Oh. And sometimes I think we can step into bear traps, and we don't even know we've stepped into a bear trap because nobody says anything. It's just silence. The fact of the matter is we engage with each other. We have conversations. We don't really know what's going on necessarily with the other person. And the other person could be family. The other person could be someone that we're close to, and we still may not know everything going on, because quite frankly, in spite of all the openness and transparency that people exhort us to exhibit, especially in the online world, the fact of the matter is there are many things that we still keep close to our vest. And there are still things that are private. There still is quiet desperation in all of our lives. And it begs the question, how do we handle adversity? How do we handle adversity that is quiet desperation? You've likely long heard the moniker, "It's lonely at the top." And while many people want to ascribe that to the top, meaning you've achieved, you're successful, you're whatever, it could be the top is just some position of leadership. It could be that in whatever situation you find yourself, there just isn't anybody to go to. There just isn't anybody to talk to. There are these quiet moments of desperation that lead all of us, I think, to reach the conclusion, this is the top. It doesn't feel like the top in a sense of being successful, but it is at the top in that it's lonely here. It is this peak. It is this, and we are standing alone at this peak because there's no room for anyone else. And we may wrestle with the notion, do we dare try to drag somebody else in on this? Do we dare try to make this quiet desperation that we are serving, do we dare try to share that? Do we try to burden someone else with that? No. No, and we endure it, and we cope. And admittedly, some of us may cope better than others. Some of us may cope more effectively and more successfully than others. But we all have to find a way to cope. We all have to find a way to cope with the quiet desperation. When you hear the story of someone who has taken their life, I guess that's about as extreme as it gets. When someone is at a place in their life that they just, for whatever reason, they lose their sensibilities, and yes, everybody can argue and fuss and fight about how it is the ultimate selfish act. I can certainly understand that. I can't relate. I can't understand what's going through a person's mind because I have some strong convictions that those alone would prevent me from going down that path. But I remember some years ago, a local businessman here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I didn't know him, but I knew someone who did know him and who had dealings with him, and he had driven a car out to some remote area, and he had used a gun, and he had kids, he had a wife, and he had gotten into some financial difficulty. And evidently he had done some rather unscrupulous things at work, had his hand in the till, perhaps. I don't know what he was thinking. He was younger than I was at the time. And He had high school, college age kids, and I didn't know him. I never had met him, but again, we had this mutual friend. And as I was hearing the story, I kept thinking, you know, there are a lot of men and women, not only in Dallas-Fort Worth, but wherever you live, that have just this quiet desperation going on that nobody has a clue. Well, of course, after his death, other facts came out. And, you know, I often think about that and those kinds of situations, and I wonder, well, if the facts would have come out while he was alive, how much worse could it have been? I mean, how much worse could it have been to just, you know, to just face it and to just deal with it? And even if you had made some horrible, horrible decision, my wife had to run some errands this morning, and so I had her drop me off at the gym to work out while I was doing that. And as we were leaving our subdivision, some streets over, a house has been for sale for a long, long time. And the gentleman of the house, he was arrested some years ago, indicted on huge, huge fraud. And if memory serves, and he's 10 years or so older than me, and I think his sentence was 30 years, he's in the penitentiary. And this was a high-flying business guy, and she had commented that the house, which had been up for sale for a good long while, that she had seen that the house, in her walking the neighborhood, she had seen the house has sold. And here's another example of a high-flying business guy. Big money, right? Always rolling in big money and always doing things in a grandiose way. And now he's in a small 10x10 or however big penitentiary cells are these days. That's where he's at. Quiet desperation. Now, these two examples are quiet desperation that people just made some really stupid, foolish, criminal decisions. And that's probably not you. That's probably not me. Well, let's hope so. Our quiet desperation is often just the circumstances of life. Oh, certainly. Sometimes we bring it up on ourselves. Sometimes we behave foolishly. Sometimes we make an unwise choice. But the fact of the matter is, bad things happen to all of us. I'm thinking of a couple of things in my life, or three, but not hardly anybody knows. My wife knows, but nobody else knows. And I don't really feel compelled to share. Sorry. And it's not a matter of trying to be secretive. It's not a matter of trying to put on some pretense. It's just, A, it's nobody else's business. B, I know you've got problems. Because I've got problems. We've all got problems. And I fail to see what makes me so special that I could lay my problems at your feet and not have that reciprocated. So I'm so special that the world has to listen to all of my problems, but nobody has to listen to yours. There's nothing fair about that. The fact that I have a microphone and a podcast gives me some right? I don't think so. The fact that I have a blog and I could write about something and perhaps you don't? The fact that I have a Facebook account and you don't? The fact that I have a Twitter account and you don't? I don't understand all of that. I don't get all of that. I don't agree with all of that. I mean, there are so many components of this internet age that vex me, to be very candid with you, that just absolutely vex me. I think it's great and it's wonderful and it's terrific. And I'm not one of these fuddy-duddies that doesn't get social media. However, there is such an intense focus on us. There is such an intense focus on our life, our problems, and we are the center of the universe. And I'm made to think about quiet desperation, not about my own, but I'm made to think about, as I'm dealing with other people, I've no idea what might be going on in their life. There have been occasions where I had a business relationship, And in the business communication, seemingly unprovoked, the other person would just be quite cantankerous, quite difficult. And when I was younger, you know, the natural reaction is to kind of deal in kind. And I had to really fight that urge, as I think most of us do. Well, some of us don't fight it at all, but I really tried to fight it as best I could. But when somebody, you know, is coming at you tooth and nail and they're very adversarial, it's very difficult. It's just very difficult to embrace them, you know. It's very difficult to warm up to them. But I've learned through the years that, yes, while there may be some despicable human beings that are just bent as tyrants, and I've known my share, there are other people, they are tyrants not because they're tyrants, or they are despicable in a moment not because they're despicable, but there's something else going on. And while the desperation certainly doesn't appear, it appears to be anything but quiet, it really is quiet desperation because we don't know. The manifestation might be a temper tantrum. The manifestation might be some hateful behavior. The manifestation could be any number of things, passive-aggressive behavior, all kinds of things, when the fact of the matter could be, it's not always, but it could be, they've got something going on. There's something going on behind their eyes that's driving this bus. And it may or may not have one thing to do with you. Just food for thought. So the question, how do you handle adversity? When things befall you that aren't anybody's business and are things that you don't necessarily want to share, that are things that you feel compelled to just shoulder, what do you do? Where do you go? Do you talk to anybody about it? Do you lean on anybody about it? Now, time would fail me to record all the potential reactions that you could have or that I could have. We could result to some type of substance. We could result to alcohol. We could result to drugs. We could result to any number of things. We could result to some party kind of a lifestyle. We could become destructive in just trying to lose ourselves so that we can get away from the silence in our head that is quiet desperation. And many people do. Far too many people do. Or we could dive into feeling sorry for ourselves and say, we're not going to live lives of quiet desperation. We're going to make sure if we have a problem, we're going to make sure everybody knows we have a problem. Because you know we are the most important people on the planet. I mean, we ourselves, we are the most important person on the planet. What do you do? How do you handle it? Now, I'm here to tell you right now, today, I'll make this much of a confession. May 19th, 2012, I have two or three things on my mind that I would describe as quiet desperation. I share those with my wife, and that's it. I mean, that's just it. And the sharing that we do, even with our spouse, has its limitations. I mean, she's got situations and issues that may have come up in her life that I'm a guy. I can't relate. I can try to be sympathetic. I can try to be empathetic, but it can be very difficult at times. And so now what? Now what? And you and I both know the big, big issue here. We do a lot of living in our heads because we can't get out of our heads. We are living with ourselves all the time. There's no getting away from yourself. There's no taking a vacation. Well, some people behave as though they're taking a vacation from their brain, but you know, you can't. And it is the stuff of desperation that makes the quiet desperation, I think, so dangerous. Is it, we can become so preoccupied with it, and it nags at us, and it gnaws at us, and it keeps us awake at night, and we wake up in the morning with it on our mind, and there's just no escaping from it, and it consumes a lot of people. Well, let me leave you with, I don't know, at least one decent piece of advice, because I don't want this to be, I don't want to propel you toward quiet desperation. And if you're in a place of quiet desperation, I certainly want to provide you some encouragement to escape that. And let me kind of lay out there kind of the one thing, and that is to be mindful that you are not alone in this, and to be mindful that while you may be alone in this specific problem that you face, know this, the person across the table, the person on the other end of the phone, the person, whoever the people are that you encounter in your life on a daily or regular basis, they too have problems. I have found it tremendously helpful when quiet desperation enters my life to try to find and be a help to somebody else through their perhaps quiet desperation. I find it remarkable how many people don't reach out in spite of all that you hear and all that you see, and in spite of all the what I think are just utterly pathetic attempts at trying to be helpful. You know, the person that begins every day with a tweet, "Who can I help today?" I'm sorry, it's disingenuous. And I cry foul, foul. You're trying to put on a pretense. You're a hypocrite. You're trying to be something that you're not. How about instead of asking who you can help, how about you just go help somebody? And how about you just keep your mouth shut about it? How about that? Yeah, it irks me. It irks me that some of the things that we can do to fix quiet desperation is we can quietly help. But, you know, nobody wants to do anything quietly. I want credit for it. I want to be out there. I want people to know what I've done, you know, because it is a day and age of self-promotion after all. I understand self-promotion. I understand marketing. I understand business stuff, but we're talking about the stuff of life, because we can't separate our lives from business. Business is part of our lives, but that doesn't mean that everything we do in life must be business. It doesn't mean that every act that we do must be recorded and amplified for the world. It doesn't mean that I've got to get credit. Somebody's got to give me a star. Somebody's got to, you know, lick the star and stick it on my forehead every time I do anything that's positive. But it's not how we tend to see the world happening before us. We want to make sure everybody knows everything great and wonderful. And increasingly, we also want to make sure everybody knows when we're struggling and that we're having a hard time. And of course, there's all the verbiage of, you know, well, people can learn lessons when they see other people struggling and they see how they cope with it. I don't disagree with that, but come on, let's be reasonable here. It doesn't mean that I want to listen to every inane bad thing that's happened to you. I'm sorry about it, but you and I both know what we're all thinking. I got problems of my own. I'm sorry you're going through struggles, but, you know, I got my own. Do you have people in your life that you get them on the phone and the only thing that you have to say is hello? And then it's just a tirade of catching you up with all the things that are wrong and all the things that have gone amiss in their life. And 40 minutes later, you know, you're probably lying through your teeth saying, you know, it was good to catch up, and you hang up and you realize not one time did they even inquire about your life. Sure, we've all experienced that. My encouragement is, if you are in a moment of quiet desperation, just try to be a quiet friend and reach out and help somebody and keep your mouth shut about it. Don't tell me about it. Don't tell anybody else about it. Don't go looking for applause over it. Just do it because it's a good thing to do. Do it because it's the right thing to do. Do it because you can help somebody else through their struggle, and do it because they'll know that their quiet desperation, you're not going to go share it all over the world. And you know what? It might just be that in your moments of quiet desperation, they will reciprocate. They may not, and that's not the point. The point isn't to do it so that you can derive some benefit from it, other than the intrinsic benefit of knowing that you're trying to be a good person and do the right thing. to just be helpful to somebody else. Yeah, we all know the truth of it. Somebody else has got it tougher than we do. We walked down the street a few nights ago. There's homeowners associations and whatnot, and they're crazy powerful here in the state of Texas. And we happen to have a decent and a good homeowners association. There were some amendments being made and some stuff, and they needed the signatures of everybody in the neighborhood. And some friends, a couple of houses down, they were having it at their house. And it so happens that the gentleman of the home had a spot of cancer. Now today, thankfully, he's cancer free, but you know, we're sitting there and thankful that his report has come back as positively as it has, meaning that it was completely negative. No cancer found. That's great. That's wonderful. But you know, we're catching up, and I mean, here's a guy that spent a couple of months in bed and a lot of chemo and radiation and all that good stuff. You know, and very immediately he says, I looked around every time I went, I would look around and I would see these poor people that had it so much worse than I had it. And make no mistake, he said, it was a scary ordeal for us, but we're really blessed. There are people who have it so much worse. And we all know that that's true. We all know that that's true. But, you know, this is our life and these are our problems, and that makes them the most important problems to us. One thing that I think can help us in our moments of quiet desperation and how we handle our own adversity is to be helpful to other people. Because what I have found in my experience is it certainly helps us recognize our place in the world and that we are not the center of the universe, that other people do have problems, that even in spite of our quiet desperation, we can still lend a hand to somebody else. And there's something powerful too about doing it and keeping your mouth shut. There's just something powerful about trying to be the shoulder that someone can lean on and nobody knows it. Nobody knows it but you and the other person. I wish I had something more profound to give you today, but unfortunately I don't. Now, here's the good news. The good news is you're listening to this at the very earliest. You're listening to this on Monday. You're not listening to this on Saturday. Let's start the week right, shall we? I don't want you to start the week with quiet desperation, but I do want you to start the week being a quiet servant to help somebody else who might need your help. How about that? How about we do that? And how about you go try to make this week a better week for somebody else? Because when you do that, you just might find out that you're making the week better for yourself. So there you have it. It's in the books. Well, I would say it's on the SD card. It's on the hard drive. I don't know where it's at, but it's in your ears now. Left for you to deal with as you please. Hey, you know, another book that I was looking at, as I was looking for that book, Quiet Desperation, The Truth About Successful Men by Jan Halper, I came across another book that I hadn't seen in a good while. It was published in 2001, and I had forgotten about it, and the title of the book is Anyway, The Paradoxical Commandments, Finding Personal Meaning in a Crazy World by Keith M. Kent, or Keith or Kent M. Keith, I'm sorry. Anyway, I had forgotten about it, but I thought it was a pretty good book. And to give you an idea here are some of the paradoxical commandments. I'll give you these as the music winds us down. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. I'd completely forgotten about this little book. You should go buy it. It's a pretty terrific little tome. It's one of those little short books. Make it a great week. Anyway, no matter what adversity, no matter what is befalling you, no matter how difficult the circumstances are, just overcome those things anyway. Okay, some favors to ask. I did a video that I posted on Saturday. If you go and you find it, it's something about, let me go over here and look. It's something about mentors and, man, is this terrible of me or what? Does this mean I'm producing too much content? I can't even remember. Trusted advisors for your small business. Do you surround yourself with good people to consult with? Leave me a comment there. It's a short video. It's about 5 or 6 minutes. And I'd love your feedback. I'd love your comments. It was posted on May 19th. That's today, Saturday. Now you're listening to this on Monday. I know this is all very confusing, isn't it? But I'd love for you to leave me a comment there. Greatly would appreciate it. Subscribe, won't you? Plug your email address up there at the upper right-hand corner. Weekly updates. I send out one email that goes out about 5 p.m. Central Time every Sunday. It's kind of a recap of what goes on here in the land of Bula, so you don't miss anything at all. So you could do those two things for me and just be quiet about it. Well, no, you need to tell everybody you know about me. I'm worth telling folks about, I think. BulaNetwork.com. My name is Randy Cantrell, and this is The Yellow Studio.